Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, welcome to Thoughts on Thoughts, a podcast where you, our listeners, can become part of a conversation with us. We are three therapists who are going to talk about the good, the hard, and all the in-betweens of life. Come join us.
Hello, welcome to Thoughts on Thoughts. This is KJ and Jessica. We're missing Taylor today, but she'll be back. And this episode, we are finishing the rest of the questions we got from you guys a while ago over on Instagram. We threw up a little Q&A box, and we're going to talk about the rest of these questions. We've got some good ones. So, let's give it a go. Okay, the first question was from someone who has a tween with bad anxiety. She's wondering if it would be best to work with a child psychologist or a therapist who specializes in anxiety. So what do you think, Jessica?
Yeah, so KJ and I are assuming this question means like age-wise, should they go to like a child-centered person or just like a normal therapist who specializes in anxiety? And I think that it's going to be based on the child and what you want to look for. I hate when people just say that and they're like, oh, just do what's right for your child. But here's what you want to look for. If you have a child who is a tween but is still playing regularly, doing imaginative play, playing with their Barbies, playing with their American Girl dolls, just like when their friends come over, they're still like playing, then you probably would want to do something a little bit more child-centered, versus you have a preteen who's very much into just like having long conversations and bearing their soul and all that kind of stuff, which I think can easily go either way at that age. They're either growing out of their need for play or they're still in it and they still really are learning and growing that way. So I would just go based off of that. And then I think with whatever you would choose, you would make sure that it's a very experiential therapy. Like they include art therapy, interventions, maybe sand tray therapy, things like that, which kind of bridge that gap between childhood and really like later adolescence and adulthood where you can just talk for an hour, you know?
Yep. Okay, our next question. I want to let my husband parent his way, but sometimes I think he's just mean to the kids. So with this one, I kind of got to read between the lines a little bit. It kind of sounds like maybe this person is trying to like not always be in control, I guess, of like the parenting happening and having her hands in all the things and wanting to like take a step back and let her husband kind of do things the way that he wants to. But her concern is that maybe it's crossing some lines. So I think with this, I mean, if something doesn't sit well with you, then there's a reason for that, right? And I think it's totally fair to communicate about that with your spouse and be in constant communication about your parenting and how you want to raise these kids together. I think that is something that is always up for discussion and can be on the table.
Yeah. I would say if you feel like you and your spouse have different parenting styles, that can be absolutely just fine. It's very valuable for kids to be parented two different ways because then they learn more of ways to adapt into the real world and all that stuff. But if when you use the word mean, then I think you really have to look at, like, was he being too mean? Like, when you come and say, hey, when this happened with the kids today, does he also agree, like, yeah, I went too far, that I shouldn't have done that? Or is he, like, staunchly going to defend it? And I think that's where you have to have a conversation with compromise, because people do absolutely have different parenting styles, and they were raised differently, and then they see things differently. And so you have to compromise and work together and be consistently sharing your point of view, and they can consistently share their point of view, you know? Because from where I'm sitting, like, if he's actually mean, that's never going to be beneficial and help the child. And I would hope that he can see that, right? But if he's being very firm and you view it as being mean, then he might be able to say, oh no, I think you think I'm being mean, but I'm just being, you know, very consistent and structured and whatever. And that is totally appropriate. So that's where you need to have a conversation of, like, is he actually crossing lines, or is he within his bounds? And then you guys can kind of decide, like, okay, yeah, you do it a little bit more intensely than I would, but that's okay. And I can, like, sit back, and then maybe I do intervene if this is the line that we decide you don't cross, and you do cross it, then I will intervene or something, you know? But it's having a nice open conversation about it. And the real thing is just doing kind of like what Taylor talks about in her emotional check-ins, like, between spouses, like, having a very, like, open, vulnerable conversation where it's not just attacking each other. Because parenting styles is one of those things, like money and things like that, where it can get very overwhelming and heated pretty quickly, because it's so absolutely rooted in our own childhoods. And so if you ever, like, need help, or you say, oh, we've been talking about it and we can't do this, I think that's a good opportunity to have a therapist step in and help you guys talk about it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Okay. Next question. Where do you start with trauma? And so with this, I'm guessing it's, like, in a therapy setting, like, yeah, where would you and your therapist start with trauma?
We're going to go as if you're doing it in therapy. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's what I would recommend. First of all, go to therapy.
Get a therapist. Step one, and then, therapy.
Yeah. And from there, it can kind of depend on what your therapist style, modality, whatever you want to call it, is. Mm-hmm. For me, with my clients, I think typically I do a lot of relationship building, building rapport, establishing that trust. And then there's some different ways of going about it. Like, if we went the EMDR route, the eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, we have a episode about that. You can start with either, like, the oldest traumatic memory or the most difficult. And if we're not doing the EMDR route, a lot of times I'll just kind of start with whatever traumatic event is affecting present day.
Yeah, like, has present day symptoms that are affecting you most. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then sometimes, like, say you're in therapy because of a recent event, like a car crash, then that is where your therapist will start. Mm-hmm. And then it can kind of trickle back into other things. As needed.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's what you would do. Yeah.
Lots of options, truly.
Yeah. And I think it's helpful if you come in. The thing that you want when you're meeting with your therapist to talk about trauma is you don't have to disclose all of your trauma all at once, but you need to feel safe enough in that office that someday you could disclose it. Like, if you were going to disclose it, you would do it there. If that makes sense. But if you're like, I'm never going to tell my therapist that, it's like, okay, well, is that because of the therapist, or is it just because you're never going to tell anyone? Because either way, we're going to have to dig into that. But if it's like, I don't want to tell my therapist, then you need a new therapist.
Mm-hmm.
So just remember that.
I think people feel bad firing therapists. Well, let me rephrase that. I think adults feel bad Firing therapists. I have been fired many times by teenage girls.
Yeah, they're like, see you later.
Yeah. You're like, no. But yeah, I mean, it's fine to do. You know, if you don't feel like your needs are being met, there's not that connection there, then it is okay to let them know and move along.
Yeah. So. And all you have to say is, hey, I appreciate your help. I'm not going to be scheduling any more appointments. Or just say, hey, I love what you've been doing. I'm going to go try out this other modality over here with a different therapist. Just like simple things like that of just like, hey, thank you for your time. I'm done coming to therapy. There's no need to like ghost a therapist because they can handle it. Yes. And there's also no need to send your therapist a note detailing all the reasons why you don't like them. You also don't have to do that. I've heard of that happening to people, and that's unnecessary as well. So just like a nice, thanks, I'm moving on, is perfect. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yep. Okay. And our last question is, what is the balance between this is the way I am and I'd really like to change my entire self? So.
Well, it's a balance. Yeah. I mean, yes, I feel like these are not the same thing. So is it a balance, really? You know, it's like, you know, I think to feel like there are some things I could change about myself versus like everything is wrong with me. What is the exact wording in the question?
This is the way I am versus I'd really like to change my entire self.
My entire self. Yeah. So... Yeah, I think there's just a lot of sides of this coin. There's a level of like, this is who I am. And that comes with a lot of acceptance for who you are. But there's also an undercurrent of like, this is just who I am. I can't help it. And I don't agree with that. But I do absolutely agree with like, I'm an anxious person. I can embrace that and understand that and integrate it into my life. So in that way, yes, I think we should always be striving towards this is who I am. Like, this is how I function in life. Wonderful, you know? Mm-hmm. But then to have that feeling of I need to change my entire self. I mean, the first thing that came to my mind when KJ read that was that's all or nothing thinking. Not a single person aside from a serial killer or a psychopath needs to change their entire self. There's going to be like the majority of you is going to be generally good, you know, and then there's going to be some parts that obviously need help. And that's usually because they're bothering us, like symptoms that are coming up in our own lives. You know, it's not even necessarily that we're hurting other people or anything, but yeah, to be like, I need to change everything, my entire self. It feels like a big ask for the world, you know?
Yeah, and it's kind of identifying where is that rooted. Is it rooted in like a feeling of self-loathing? Is it rooted in some trauma? Is it rooted in like anxiety, social anxiety, where you just kind of have this perception of like everyone hates me and I need to change everything about me?
Mm-hmm.
But kind of whatever it's coming from, you know, I guess the lasting impact of that is if you don't get to the root of it first, you won't be able to change anything. Like,
yeah.
You kind of have to dig deep into, why do I have this self-loathing? Why do I not like myself? Is that from, you know, childhood stuff? Is it from like a traumatic event? Like, what is causing that root to be there? Because clearly it's having some symptoms of like just difficult black and white thinking, and maybe those thoughts hit you at random times or they're triggered randomly where you're like, oh, I hate myself, or I just need to change everything about me. So yeah, I think getting to the root of like, why is that coming up, can kind of help you figure out, well, hopefully that it doesn't need to be like an extreme overhaul.
Right. Yeah. And I think, like, you can think about it, like, if we take the social anxiety example, right? Like, if I go and have a night of conversation with friends and I come home and I'm overanalyzing, and I can be like, oh my gosh, everyone hates me. Everything I said was terrible. I cannot believe I said these things. I should never open my mouth again. I should not even go in public again. I just want everyone to like me. It's not working, blah, 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 blah. Like, if you can spiral that way, or you can come home and say, okay, let me like take a second and look at my night. How did it go? How are my conversations? Okay, yeah, I'm realizing that when so-and-so said this, I felt a little bit attacked and I kind of responded with this really big response. I want to look at that. I don't like that I did that. So, you know, if I needed to apologize or something, like if it was egregious, then I could apologize. I could whatever. But I would do something with the feeling, you know, and I would say like, okay, what do I want to change? What do I want to be more aware of? Like, if something was triggering, then I could be like, wow, I realize now that this person in my neighborhood, in my workplace, is kind of triggering for me. I can be aware of that and I can work around it, you know, but I don't need to change everything about myself to be in that social situation. I can maybe work on things and improve on things, but it's not my entire self. I don't have to hate my entire self, you know? And I think it's also rooted in that kind of like that shame. Like, I need to change everything about myself because something is wrong with me internally. Like, I'm a bad apple, bad seed, bad, what is it? Bad apple, whatever.
Bad seed.
Like, bad seed. Like, you're just a bad one, you know? Like, something is inherently wrong with you. But it's like, do you believe that there is something inherently wrong? Like, I am broken in some way. Or do you believe I am a person who has broken pieces that can be improved upon? And I think just anyone who has ever tried to change something about themselves, when you're coming at it from a place of, I hate this about myself, it generally just triggers a new cycle of the behavior, because those behaviors are almost always rooted in shame. Like, if I hate that I eat ice cream, like a ton of ice cream, then hating that about myself usually makes me want to go eat more ice cream rather than to stop, versus having compassion and saying, why am I eating this ice cream? What is this ice cream offering to myself that I can't get somewhere else? Like, what is this doing for me? Wow, I'm realizing that I'm in a really stressful place and this is very comforting. Maybe I should just enjoy that it offers me comfort in this meantime until I find a new coping skill. You know, like, it's just a very different way of looking at maybe something that's like, this is how I am. Like, yeah, I can just accept it and do nothing, or I can hate everything about myself, or we can come to this middle balance, which is, I guess, what you're seeking and looking for, which is, yes, there are things about myself that I want to change and that I'm going to change, but I know that the best way to change those is to come at them from a place of self-love and compassion and understanding.
Yeah, I really like what you said earlier about do something with the feeling. Mm-hmm. Because it sounds like, and this is just me making assumptions, but people that are maybe stuck in that like self-loathing, rumination, needing to change everything about themselves, the actions they're doing are not moving them forward. They're keeping them stuck. So it's like everything you said is like action that could move you through the feeling instead of getting you stuck in it. So like apologizing to a friend or recognizing your triggers or like that stuff's all going to propel you into hopefully a different feeling about yourself in the future.
Yeah, definitely. Which would be so nice. And just having that, like, I am who I am and that's okay. And I'm changing and growing. Like, that's where you want to land for that balance. And that's beautiful, yeah. You know? That's where we all are.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, that's all. That's all we got.
Quick and easy, a few questions.
Yeah. Hopefully this was short and sweet. podcast episode for your day and that it was helpful. And if it's helpful, please rate and review our podcast so that other people can find it. And it just gives us motivation to continue on this little hobby of ours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then if you have questions that you want to submit for our next Q&A episode, because we kind of enjoy doing this, it gives us a direction to go with our podcast. So please submit it. Let us know so we can answer it.
Awesome. See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us today. We want to create a community of inclusion where we can have conversations about topics that you need help with or have questions about. We want you to have a voice in this process, so please let us know what you want to hear about on future episodes. You can email us at thoughtspod@gmail.com. And if you search Thoughts Pod, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All original music is composed by Milan Vrajic from Valley of the Bears, and our logos are by Rick Thomas. Thanks for joining us.